Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. I want to welcome you to our conference call on this Saturday evening. We already have a lot of people on the line, so I've already muted the lines to avoid the background noise. If you have a question for me tonight, all you need to do is press star 6, and that puts you in line to ask your questions. I'll just take them in the order that they came in on. But before we get started on the Q&A calls, I have a couple of announcements to make. One of them is that we've had a couple of people that had to move their tours over. They were signed up for like a November tour, and they had to move it over to January next year because either they couldn't get off work or family member had some health problems. So you might check our website on our tour dates. We have had a couple of openings that have come up, I believe, for November and December for 2019. But the tours are selling out pretty fast, so if you have an interest in signing up for Panama Relocation Tour, I would recommend that you sign up soon. And all you have to do is put down a $500 deposit. If for some reason you need to cancel, you just need to let us know 30 days before your tour, and we'll be glad to refund all of your money. It doesn't cost anything to reserve a spot and then cancel it 30 days before. So if you're thinking about going on a tour, save your spot because they're really selling out very, very quickly. Without further ado, I'm going to get started on the questions for tonight's Q&A call. For those of you that are new, my name's Jackie Lang, and I've lived in Panama since 2010. I live in the Boquete area, which is up in the mountains where it's cooler weather than the coastline. I think today it was quite cool. It's very unusual, but this morning I woke up and it was raining. At 10 o'clock in the morning, it started raining. So it's been a little bit cooler today, only like 69, 70 degrees today. But tomorrow it's supposed to be sunshine, so hopefully it will be. But I've been doing the relocation tour since 2010. In August, we just completed our 108th Panama Relocation Tour. We've helped thousands of people relocate to Panama. And with the information that they get on the tour, we teach them how to move here with confidence and how to move here the easy way so they're not stressed out and they don't have a lot of unknowns. So we really try to help make that transition to living in Panama as easy as possible. So I'm going to get started with our first question. I don't know names on many of these. It just has an area code is all I see. So I'm going to call out an area code. I have area code 605. I've just unmuted your line. Go ahead. Area code 605. If you have area code 605, I unmuted your line. You can ask your question now.
Hi, Jackie. This is Dan and Erica from South Dakota again. And,
hey there.
Yes. We are signed up for your tour in the spring of one of the tours in the spring here of 2020. And the question that we have is we plan on hopefully doing a relocate down there within the next few years. Erica is 10 years younger than I am and is in the medical profession. And so we're wondering how that works with someone that'll be retired is in myself, and then someone with a significant other who is still wants to be gainfully employed.
Well, two things. First of all, and I'm not sure what she's doing in the medical profession, but many professions here in Panama are protected professions, meaning that only a Panamanian can do it. Things like a doctor or a nurse can only be done by a Panamanian. So she wouldn't be able to get a job. And even if she did get a job, the pay would be significantly less than what she's making right now. But there are some other things that she could do to still utilize her skill set. But getting a job as a nurse or a doctor is just not going to be possible until she got her citizenship, which would take another 5 years to be able to do that. But one of the things that there's a huge need for here in Panama are assisted living facilities. There are some, but there's usually a waiting list for them. And many expats move here when they're in their, late 50s or 60s already. And so as they get older, they only have two choices. One choice is, you know, if they can't take care of themselves anymore and they need a little help. There is home health care that's available, but it's also very, very limited. So she could set up a company offering home health care, and that would be very well received. She'd have so many clients right away. Another thing that she could do would be to open up an assisted living facility. That's something that there are some, but there's a waiting list to get into them. So those are some ways that she could utilize her skill set and still be able to keep on working and making some money.
Oh, that's wonderful information. Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in tonight. My next caller is area code 443. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Jackie. This is Shirley. I had a question about a couple of the suburbs on the outside of Boquete. I think one is Las Molinas and then St. Lucia. I was wondering what the weather is like in the dry and the rainy seasons of that area, and then also in the area of Caro Punta, how the weather and the rental prices are in that area.
So in the Boquete area alone, the Boquete district, there's probably 50 different microclimates, so it all depends on the elevation. At sea level here in Panama, it's about 90 degrees plus or minus 5. And then for every 1,000 feet that you go up in elevation, the temperature drops approximately 4 degrees. So the Los Molinos neighborhood is actually about 20 minutes south of Boquete, downtown Boquete. It's quite a bit south, and it's only about 1,800 feet. So it's still going to be quite warm during the day there. Daytime temperatures are going to be 85, 88 degrees. It'll cool down about 10 degrees at night. Many of the homes there, and there's also condos. Condos or homes are going to have air conditioning because it's still so warm. It's also one of the more expensive neighborhoods. I think the lowest rent in there is $1,000, and then it goes up from there. And there's also another neighborhood that you didn't mention, but it's just a little bit higher. And it's Boquete Canyon Village. It's a gated community that has townhouses and single-family homes, also at about 2,000 feet. So it's still going to be warmer than downtown Boquete, but it's only about 15 minutes to downtown. And then, you know, there's so many, there's, you know, just so many different areas. One that you mentioned was Santa Lucia, but it's actually Santa Lucia, and that's at about 4,000 feet. So it's going to be cooler in Santa Lucia. It's a nice residential community, not a gated community like Los Molinos or Boquete Canyon Village. Rentals in there are ranged between $700 and $1,500, depending on the house. And, you know, it's one of those places where you can have a 1,500-square-foot house next to a 2,500-square-foot house, and you can paint your house whatever color you want to. There's also a pool and tennis courts in Santa Lucia. So, you know, there's so many different neighborhoods around the Boquete area, and each one of them has different characteristics, but it's all based on the elevation.
Okay, thank you.
I hope that answers your question. I know it doesn't answer it completely, but it's just an overview. It'd take,
right,
you know, all day long to give you the
right,
the all the answers, but it gives you an overview. Just focus on what's the elevation, and then that'll give
right,
you an idea
okay,
what the weather's like.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks
thank
for
you,
calling in, Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Next question is area code 602. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Sam Clausen.
Hi, Sam.
How are you, Jackie?
Are you counting down the days?
Oh, we've been counting down for a while.
Yeah. So for those of you that know, Sam, you tell the story, what happened when you came on the tour and what happened while you were on the tour. You tell everybody about it.
We came on the tour in July, and we weren't specifically looking to sign a lease on the tour, but that's what happened. My wife walked into a house she liked in Vulcan on the tour, walked in and said, I love this house. So we sat with the couple that were renting it and the real estate agent for about 4 hours and signed our one-year lease, and we're coming back on the 10th of September.
Well, let me add one other little thing, because I just happened to be walking up to the house right next to Nancy before she ever got into the house. I think you were already there, or you were overseeing the dog, but Nancy we were, I don't know, 50 feet away from the house, and Nancy said, I think I've just found my next home. And she hadn't even seen the inside yet, but you just get that gut feeling that you know that this is the one. So there's no way you were not going to get that house, Sam. She'd already decided.
I understand.
Yep, so okay. Go ahead with your question.
My question is concerning Volcan, as far as, is there a what do I call it, a Movistar distributor or place like that in Volcan?
Yes, there is.
Okay, so that's
yeah,
who we're going
to
go.
There's
with.
A place right next to the Romero grocery store. There's a place right okay. there where you can get that all set up.
And I just want to say, while we're on the line, thanks to I think it's John Lutz. Luz?
Uh-huh. Lutz.
Him
uh-huh.
and his wife have agreed to pick us up at the airport and take us up to the house. So
that's exciting. Yeah, they're such a helpful couple. They came on our tour and lived in Volcan for a while. Now they're living in Dolega, and they had a lot of people help them when they got here, so they're paying it forward by helping other people when they first get here.
And we can't do the same. I mean, we can't wait to do the same.
Yep. Well, I look forward to seeing you. I'll be there on the 18th in Volcan, so I look forward to seeing you then. Thanks for
Super.
Calling in.
Oh, one more question, Jackie, if I could.
Sure.
You'd posted something about we may not have to go to Panama City to get our visas.
Well, it's been approved already that you're going to be able to, in Volcan, you'll be able to get both the temporary visa and your permanent visa and your cedula out of David. So that's all been approved, but they haven't actually written the executive order and put a date and a stamp and everything on it. But it'll probably happen in the next week or two. So, yes,
okay.
You need to get your visa in David, and then you'll be able to get your permanent visa in David and avoid the whole hectic Panama City altogether. It'll
yeah,
be
we've
good.
Already signed it. We've already paid our down payment with Kramer.
Good. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for calling in tonight, Sam. I look forward to seeing you soon. My next caller is area code 443. Go right ahead.
Good evening, Jackie. I'm calling from Baltimore, and my name is Terry, and I wanted to know about there's a one time where you can import your household goods without paying the duties on it, and up to $10,000 worth of goods. I was wondering how do you know how much the value of the goods are? Do you need receipts
for
everything?
No, you don't have to have receipts for everything, you know, because this is supposed to be all used items and not new items.
Right.
You and the international moving company that you're working with will just guesstimate all of those things. Even though you don't have to pay taxes or customs fees, it's very, very expensive to ship your things to Panama. Also, most of the homes here come completely furnished, so you're going to have a bit of a challenge to find a house that's unfurnished to put your stuff in if you ship it here.
Well, I wasn't planning on bringing furniture, but I like to bring some tools and, you know, things that I'd like to have
yeah.
there.
You're still looking at $7,000 to $10,000 to be able to do that.
Really? Boy.
Yeah, yeah. It's
All
a
right,
lot.
Well, yeah, it is. It is.
Okay,
right.
yeah.
And do I need to wait for my permanent visa, or could I do it on a temporary visa?
Once you get your temporary visa or even a letter from your attorney that says you're applying for your temporary visa, then they'll waive those customs fees. But you still have fees to get the stuff down here, and it's not cheap.
Right. Okay, I understand. Thanks for the
okay.
bad news.
Well, and, right. you know, one of the things you might consider instead of shipping up, you know, like a 20-foot container or something, is maybe you could get it down to 10 boxes that you ship. And you might be able to get that down to about, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 to ship 10 or 15 boxes. You'll just have to decide what you can live without and what you can't live without.
Right. Well, I was only going to probably ship about 4 boxes.
Oh well,
yeah,
then
not
that's
a lot
not
of stuff.
Yeah, shipping four boxes, depends on how much they weigh, but you're going to
Right.
be able to get that a lot cheaper, under $1,000. Let's see, four boxes may be under $500, actually. It
Oh,
just
well,
depends
that's
on how
nice.
much they weigh. But if you were shipping a 40-foot container or 20-foot container, then you're looking at the big bucks.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jackie.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in tonight.
See you in December.
The next caller is area code 541. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Jackie. This is Jay Thornton. I'm part of your email group. We actually haven't spoken before, but been researching Panama for about 3 years. Very interested. I'm looking at a tour for next year, myself and my fiance. We're a little bit younger. I'm 48. She's 32, and we have the ability to retire pretty early. The question I have is in regards to owning an airplane and having that ability to fly in Panama. I don't think I've ever heard anybody ask that question before. I'm wondering if you have any information on what that process is and how that looks.
I know that there are expats that have actually flown their airplanes down here when they moved here. And then you have to get it re-registered here and, licensed here to be able to fly it. What the actual process is for getting that license and the registration, I don't know. But I do know people that do have airplanes here that have came down with airplanes, or they purchased them after they got here. So it's possible. I'm afraid I just don't know what the procedure is.
Right. Okay. And is there a government agency that we would have to go through, or are we just on that?
Best thing to do would be to contact an immigration attorney, and they could point you in the right direction.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're hopefully looking at getting down there next year, so we're
Okay,
looking forward
good.
to it. All right. Thanks
Yeah,
so much.
and just one other little thing I might throw in is that a couple that came on my tour 4 or 5 years ago, they just moved down about 4 or 5 months ago with four hot air balloons, and they're working on getting the permits to be able to do hot air balloon rides here in Panama. So, but which agency they go through for that, I'm sure there's something kind of like an aviation division of the government, but I don't know what it is. So, but an immigration attorney will certainly be able to point you in the right direction. Okay, next caller is area code 941. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Tom and Elizabeth. We're from Florida, and I have a question. Last time we took our dog to get his vaccination for rabies, they gave us a vaccine waiver form, and it said the animal was too old to vaccinate. Vaccinations would endanger the health of the animal. Is that something that would be accepted for the dog to come into to Panama at the airport, or no?
I really don't know. I know that they require that pets have those vaccinations, but if you have a waiver from a veterinarian that says that they're too old to get it, then you can probably get by without it. They're still going to have an international health certificate, and then maybe attached to that, having the waiver that they're too old for that particular shot. But I don't know if Panama will let them in if they don't have that shot. I just don't know.
Okay. Okay, well, that was our question. Okay, thank you.
My next caller is area code 403. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Chantel from Canada. How are
Hi.
you?
Good.
Hi. My question is, in some of your postings, you had noted that in the relocation tour, we could set up a bank account while we are
That's
there.
right. Yep.
So what exactly is it that we need to bring as far as documentation? Can we bring $5,000 in cash, or is $5,000 what is needed to deposit into the account?
So when you sign up for a tour, we send out all the banking requirements 30 days before the tour. And the main reason we
Oh,
do
okay.
that is because none of the documents that you submit to the bank can be more than 30 days old. So if it's 2 months old, they won't accept them. So some of the documents you'll have to have is going to be a reference letter from a bank that you currently have a relationship with. But once again, it can't be more than 30 days old on the day that you open up your account. The minimum requirement is $1,500 to open up the account. If you want to deposit more, you certainly can. But the $1,500, and that can be for a personal account or a joint account, either one, $1,500. Some other things that they'll want to see is proof that you've paid your taxes. It's just a new requirement that they've had in Panama for about 2 or 3 years, that they want to see proof, either some kind of an income tax return or something that shows that you've paid your taxes, that you're not running away from the country with a bunch of taxes owed.
Okay.
That's excellent. And that's, you know, they want a copy of your driver's license and your passport. That's about it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I will look forward to that then, that email when it comes out, because we're signed up for the November tour. So,
yeah, you'll get that. There's also a bank questionnaire that we send out that has all the information that the bank needs to enter into the computer to set up your account. So we send that all in advance so they can get everything set up. And then we're usually able to open up a bank account in about an hour, hour and a half, as opposed
wow.
to the 3 days that would take if you just walked in.
Oh, that's great news. Excellent. Thank you so much, Jackie.
You're welcome. Look forward to meeting you.
Yes, same here.
By the way, for those of you that just called in a little bit later wondering how to ask this question thing, all you need to do is press *6 on your phone, and that puts you in line to ask your question. So that I think I already have about 10 or 15 people in line to ask a question. But if you press *6, you'll be put in line to ask your question in the order that they came in. So my next caller is area code 818. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Celeste, and Kim and I are signed up for November, too. That's interesting that the lady that was on was just talking about coming in November. So hi.
Yeah, you're going to meet her pretty soon.
That's right. Okay. So we have a couple of questions about the Friendly Nations residency. So if Tim and I are not married, we've been together for a while, but we're not married, can we both be in the same corporation if we're not married?
So if you're not married, you're going to have to set up two separate Friendly Nation visas. But you to get the Friendly Nation visa, you need a corporation. And you can set it up so you own 50% and the other person owns 50%. So you can share a corporation.
You can share a corporation, and that'll be fine. Okay.
That'll be fine. And then, so long as you're opening up, you're getting your Friendly Nation visa at exactly the same time.
Right. Okay. Okay. I'm writing that down at the same time. Okay. And so it'd be 50% each of the ownership of the corporation.
50% shares. Uh-huh. Yep.
50% shares. Okay. Okay. And then if we wanted to sell that corporation down the line, how long would we have to hold it before we could sell it?
There's really not a time limit. I would say you want to wait at least until you get your permanent visa. So wait about
for
6 months, and then you could sell it after that. The other thing is, for people that are coming on our tour, you have access to list of people that have a corporation to sell. So instead of paying, you know, $1,200, $1,400 for a brand new corporation, you could buy an existing corporation for a couple hundred dollars, and then you pay about $400 to change the name of the corporation and change the officers. So that'll save you on getting the corporation.
Okay, so about $100 to change it, you said, is that right?
No, 400.
No.
It's 400
to change
the change the officers, and at the time you change the officers, you can even change the name of the corporation at the same time.
Okay, so we don't have to pay extra to change the name of the corporation. It's just all part of the change of ownership.
It's all part, yeah. While you're changing
ownership,
you can also change the name of the corporation at the same time.
I see. Perfect. Okay.
So
it'll
save some money.
It will save some money, and that's great. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. See you in November.
All right. See you soon. My next caller is area code 252.
Hi, Jackie. This is Sheila. I'm coming on your November tour, and I have a question about a SIM card. Someone gave me a website about where to find one for Panama. I have an iPhone, so it's unlocked. And I was wondering, but I read something in all of your literature about getting down there and going to, one of their mobile carriers and getting a SIM card and getting it set up. But if I just wanted to use it while I'm there for that week, would the SIM card that I buy, would that help me with an iPhone?
It would help you, but I really wouldn't suggest that you even bother to get a SIM card. You just don't need it. The better thing to do is make sure that on your iPhone that you have WhatsApp installed, and then you're still going to be able to have all your contacts readily available for you. So if they have WhatsApp, then you can even contact them through WhatsApp. But with WhatsApp, you'll be able to call, get in touch with people in Panama. So you don't need a SIM card. Yeah.
Oh, what the WhatsApp? For my phone, and is that what you're saying? I can contact people through that? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have Skype installed, then you can make phone calls with Skype, and then you don't have those international charges.
Okay. I was just wondering about we have a scheduled tour guide for the Friday before the tour starts.
I assure you that if anybody and everybody in Panama has WhatsApp, so you'll be able to contact them through WhatsApp.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Right. And I'll see you in
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Great. Okay, my next caller is area code 360. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Glenn West from the May Tour 101, and I had a real quick question.
Sure.
Yeah, I remember on the tour you said something about medication and pharmacies, and I saw a recording the other day, a testimonial of a lady who saved a lot. I am taking like high blood pressure and gout medication, and I was wondering, I remember that, did you give us a website that we would be able to find out a price for medication in Panama?
Well, this is the thing, is there's some of the pharmacies have an app or a website where they have a list of medications that they have and what the prices are. If you go to one pharmacy, the price is one thing. If you go to a different pharmacy, the price is completely different. So, there's not just one right answer. But there's many different pharmacies. But if you, I did give out information during the tour on where you could go to two of the different pharmacies and get information on what they have available and what the prices are like.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking of Rivia, which is very close to the multi-bank there in Boquete. Okay, well, that's all I had. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye now.
Next caller is area code 469.
Hi, Jackie. It's Tom and Betty from Texas.
Hi there.
I have one question. We're going to be seeing you in March, but and we know the vehicles that we purchased there are different from the U.S. And I was wondering, are they automatic transmissions or will they be a standard shift?
You can get either one. The first car that I bought here in Panama in 2010 was a manual transmission, and was there a lot of jerking that went on, and it would die on me because I didn't have that cord. I hadn't driven a manual transmission in 30 years, so it was a little awkward. But then the last two cars that I've had here have both been automatic transmission. So much easier.
Awesome. And then one more thing, we are going to make a deposit into the bank on our tour. And
with
the $1,500 in, is there a minimum required to leave there, or what are the rules after it's there until we come
after
back to live?
It's $1,500 to open up the account, then you need to maintain a $1,000 balance. If you go below the $1,000, then they charge a small fee if you go below. So you have to keep $1,000 in the account.
Okay, very good.
You'll be able to get a debit card. When we open up the bank accounts, you'll get a debit card, and you'll have access to your online banking.
Okay, very good. And that happens immediately?
Yep, happens during the tour. We help you with all that during the tour.
Great. Okay, looking forward to it.
Thank you. Look forward to meeting you.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, my next caller is area code 806.
Hi, Jackie. This is Max and Paula from Texas. We'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks.
And great.
We're excited. We just have a couple of questions. One is, I know the first morning of the tour we meet with an attorney. Is he going to have, will he be available to us after the tour to help with visas and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The attorney that you meet, and we meet with two attorneys usually, they're available to help you with your residency visa afterwards, but they'll explain the different visa options, you know, talk about what their fees are and any other questions that you have when the tour first starts.
Okay. Very good. And where is their office located? Do you have to go there? Do they have an office like in Boquete where we kind of think we might want to go, or how would that work?
No, they have offices in Panama City or David, but there's also an attorney that I work with in the Azuera Peninsula in Chitre for people that are moving into that area. But the reason that you want to probably work with someone in David is because the prices are cheap. If you're going to move to Boquete, work with someone in David because the price is cheaper, and there's an immigration office in David in the mall.
Okay.
Then you can avoid Panama City altogether.
Yeah, that was kind of what we were looking at too. So it's good to hear that we could get the the visa in David. Would there be anything then that we would have to get done in Panama City, or can we?
No.
Neither.
Nope.
Okay.
There's a couple of potential things that you may have to do in Panama City, but your attorney will take care of some of the things for you. One thing is, if you get your documents for getting a residency visa, if you get an apostille on the documents, then you won't have to do any additional things in Panama City with your documents for getting a visa. However, if you get your documents authenticated at the Panamanian consulate, then there's an additional step in Panama City, and they have to be re-authenticated by the Ministry of Foreign Relations in Panama City. You don't have to go there. Your attorney will take care of that. The only other thing you'll have to do in Panama City, and you'll have to go there and do that, is you'll have to go, are you from the United States?
Yes.
You'll have to go to the U.S. Embassy in Panama City to get your driver's license authenticated so that you can get a Panamanian driver's license. But that can be one day in and out.
Okay. And Max was just asking about, he's over 65, so he will get the pensionado visa. I'm not, but I can get pensionado with him as long as his Medicare check is over $1,250, right?
So long as the Social Security check is over $1,250, then you can apply together under a pensionado visa, and you'll both get all of the pensionado discounts too.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought. Okay. Thank you.
Bye. You're welcome. My next caller is area code 813.
Hi, Jackie. This is Ernie Garcia. I'm from Port St. Lucie, Florida. And
hey, Ernie.
We just barely missed Dorian. And I don't think too much has been said by anybody recently that Panama hasn't had a hurricane in 150 years.
I put out an article about that not long ago and put something on Facebook about it that it's just too far south and just the relationship of where it is to the hurricane path that they don't get hurricanes. We do get tropical storms on the Caribbean side, but it's not going to be anything close to hurricane force winds or anything like that. So it's a big, big plus. Whenever you've lived through hurricanes or like me in Texas, tornadoes, we don't get tornadoes in Panama either, or hailstorms or snow or any of those or hurricanes. So big plus for Panama.
Great. The other thing I wanted to mention is that lately you have been putting out some really short testimonials, and they have been very informative. Kudos to you.
Okay, I'm glad you like those. You know, we don't script it all. We just, there's a videographer that's there after the tour, and we just go say people, hey, if you'd like to tell people what you thought about the tour, then we'll put it on video. So I'm not there. I don't know what they say until after I get the video back, but I'm glad that you're enjoying those. And it's just people's candid opinion on what they thought about their experience.
Yeah, somebody already mentioned that there's a Canadian lady that talked about the comparison of prices on prescriptions. Now, if you could get an American person to do that, that would be great.
actually, there is one. Well, she didn't talk about prescription drugs, but I have one on YouTube, a lady named Eleanor Doty, and she talked about her experience of going to the doctor. She'd been having some problems, I think, with her knees, had been hurting her a lot. So she went to a doctor in Boquete. It was $12 for the doctor visit. He sent her over to our little hospital that we have in Boquete for x-rays, and I think that was $14. And then he prescribed some medication, and it was $8. And this is all without insurance, of course, but it just gives you a general idea of what those costs are going to be like. But it's, you know, and it depends on what medications you take, but it's substantially cheaper.
Right. Well, I hope to get to come down your way mid next year.
Great. I look forward to meeting you hopefully during a Panama relocation tour.
There you go. That's the idea. Thank you.
Thank you much. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
My next caller is area code 937. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Keith and Penny from Ohio. We'll see you on the January 30th tour. I had a couple questions. We're not married. Is there any advantage to being married as far as visa, bank accounts, and such?
So if you're not married, when you're getting a residency visa, you'll have to apply for two separate visas, which is going to increase the cost just a little bit to do two separate visas. If you were married, it would reduce your cost. For bank accounts, even if you're not married, you can get a joint bank account if that's what you want to do.
All right. But as far as for the pensionado visa, the $1,250, that's only for married. Correct.
That's only if you're married, right? If you're applying for a pensionado visa separately, you'll each need to prove that you have at least $1,000 a month in some kind of a lifetime income, like Social Security or pension from a job.
She would have Social Security, and I'd have a PRS, public employees. And they're just, I mean, I think they're each like $1,200, $1,300. I mean, there's other money, but the ones that could be a...
You'll qualify with no problems then.
Okay, another, as far as applying for health insurance, I'm trying to get this gap between when I retire, I won't have insurance available to me. When can you apply for health insurance down there? Do you have
you don't have to have your visa. You just have to be that you're moving to Panama within a month. Then you can apply for insurance down here, and of course you can get insurance that doesn't, you can get medical care at the public hospitals, and there's no monthly fee for that at all. You just pay as you go, about $2 to see a doctor. You can,
sure.
A lot of people just self-insure even when you go to a private doctor's office. It's $12 to $15, so it doesn't cost very much. But if you want to get actual insurance, there's Panama only insurance that covers you only in Panama and at the hospitals here in Panama, or you can get international health insurance. So you can do either one of those.
Right. Okay. We understood that as just the kind of the in between here.
Right.
Other thing, I've not heard this. What about hearing aids down there? They're so
they have expensive. Them. Yeah, well, I've heard they're really expensive there. Well, so I know somebody here that got hearing aids recently, and there's a place in one of the hospitals in David that it's like a huge building, and all they do there is hearing aid tests and things like that, and it's about $500 for each hearing aid.
Oh, my
aid.
God. So they're like closer to $5,000 here.
Woo!
I mean, it's
big savings.
Yeah, and it's mostly because they're changing the rules, but it's mostly because of doctors they have to refer and test and all the. Okay, that was another thing. What about after the tour? We're planning on staying over, you know, a couple, 3 or 4 days. I know you don't set up the accommodations, but do you have recommendations of somewhere we could stay in Boqueta?
Well, we'll have a lot of recommendations depending on what it is that you want. You know, if you want to stay in a hotel, if you want to stay in more of a B&B kind of a situation, we'll have some recommendations. Just shoot us an email, and you can always check TripAdvisor also and see what recommendations are on there too. But just send us an email, and we'll give you some recommendations.
Because we looked at some Airbnbs. And some that are very reasonable, and there was even, I think, one that came with a vehicle, which would be very, very nice because we want to do some looking around while we're still down there.
Yeah. you can also rent a car here for about $30 a day, and that includes insurance.
Right. There seemed to be some confusion about Airbnbs in Panama. I mean, we were hearing that they were legal, they weren't legal.
They're not. Well, in Panama City, you cannot rent for less than 30 days in Panama City. People do it all the time, but the law says you can't do it. They're really, really cracking down on Airbnbs. But in other locations, like in Boquete, they are legal to have an Airbnb. However, those people are supposed to be registered and paying taxes on their income, and probably 95% of them don't.
Probably not happening, yeah.
So there's a big crackdown in Boquete and other towns to regulate the Airbnb industry. And it's because the hotels are all pissed off that they're taking business away from them.
Sure, yeah. Because I don't know whether, you know, two or three days is worth doing an Airbnb or just staying in a motel. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, just send me an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours with information on which tour you're signed up for, and we'll give you some recommendations.
Okay.
Thank you for your call today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, my next caller is area code 813. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Robin and Bobby in Tampa, Florida, and we're coming on the January tour and had some questions with regards to a business. I'm starting an Amazon business here in the States. We probably wouldn't be coming for about a year and a half when my husband turns 60. So when he comes, 62, he's 60 now. So when he would be retired, but I would not, so I would want to transfer that business down there. So I wasn't quite understanding what you were saying, how we could buy the corporate, if you buy the corporation down there, so I would end up switching names, or does it get transferred? How does that kind of work?
Well, if it's an Amazon business, I mean, I have an Amazon business too. Amazon
right.
business, they will only pay money into a U.S. bank account. They won't send money to a Panama bank account. So you'll still need to either maintain a U.S. business, like an LLC, or at least have a U.S. bank account that the funds can be deposited into from your Amazon business. But you could have that owned by a Panama corporation that you can set up whenever you get here. So when you get a residency, if you're getting a friendly nation visa, you have to get a corporation. If you're getting a pensionado visa, you don't need a corporation. But if you're going to be running an Amazon business, you could still get a corporation. Just to go through an attorney to get one is going to be about $1,000 to $1,200. But for our tour clients only, we do have corporations available for $100 to $200.
Okay. So I would be 55 at the time, so I could also do the other one, even with the Amazon business?
Sure, yeah.
But we would have to prove, though, the $1,250 in a pension.
You'd have to prove the $1,250 a month
right.
in lifetime income of
yeah,
you combined.
Yeah, he won't even have that. Yeah, he's not going to
okay.
have that.
Okay, then you're probably going to just
one.
Yeah, just go with a Friendly Nation visa then.
Right.
And who knows, that Amazon business might turn into some kind of a business here in Panama that you want to run too with a Friendly Nation visa. You can get a work permit so that you could work in Panama if you chose to.
Right. So would I still qualify, though, for the pensionado, for the discounts and stuff as a 55-year-old?
Yeah.
Even
if
though
you
I
get,
have a friendly visa pension?
Yeah.
Or
if you get the Friendly Nation visa, anybody
mm-hmm.
that gets a Friendly Nation visa, you still get all the pensionado, or they call it jubilado discounts, so long as you meet the age requirements with a Friendly
okay.
Nation visa. And the age
okay.
requirements are 55 for women and 60 for men. Then you still get the discounts.
Perfect. Thank you so much. We'll see you in January.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Look forward to meeting you. My next caller is area code 910. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Debbie and Chuck in North Carolina, and Chuck and his sister Lynn will be going on your tour January 3rd, and I just have two quick questions. One is about our two dogs who are pretty old. One is 13, the other is 10 and a half. Do you think that we would have any trouble finding a rental property that would accept two old dogs?
No, no problems at all.
Okay, because I know a lot of landlords, at least here, don't want any pets whatsoever. They're old, they're trained, I'm retired, we're home
yeah.
a lot.
People in Panama love their dogs.
Oh, okay. And my last question is, do you have to have a Panamanian driver's license in order to buy a car there?
No. You don't
okay.
need to have a Panamanian driver's license to buy a car. However, you can only drive on your U.S. or Canadian license for 90 days in Panama. That's it. So you're going to have to get a residency visa, and then after you get your visa, then you can get a Panamanian driver's license. So very shortly after you get your visa, you have to get your Panamanian driver's license. You can't just only drive on your U.S. license.
Okay, so really you can't buy a car until you get the Panamanian driver's license.
Yes, you can buy the car, no problem.
Oh,
you can drive the car with no problems
okay.
on your U.S. license. It's just you can only drive for 90 days in Panama. Then you have to get just 90 days. So you're either going to have to leave
okay.
the country every 90 days, or you're going to have to get a visa. And then once you get your visa, you can get your Panama driver's license. But you can buy the car before you get your visa and before you get your license.
Oh, okay. And so would we be able to get our visa if we moved to Boquete? Would we be able to get the visas then through David and bypass Panama City except for that in and out for the driver's license?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Jackie.
You're welcome. Bye. My next caller is area code 910. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. My name is Eric, and I'm calling from North Carolina as well. Well, first of all, thank you for your time and the all valuable information that you put on a forum, because I've been following it for some time.
You're welcome, Eric. I'm glad to answer your questions.
Yeah, I do have a few questions here. First of all, my wife and I, we have a long-term goals in order to retire in Panama. And we're talking about, I would say, probably 2029. So we're talking about 10 years from now when we reach full retirement age. So my question at this point is not like immediately what's happening there, but I'd like to know, is it possible to find information about a future project, let's say in Playa Gargona, Playa Malibu, and probably Playa Caracol, because I see it starting to be under development. Is it possible to get this information ahead of time, or is not? And my second question would be, is it too risky to have a pre-construction purchase because according to the forum, it is because of bureaucracy, fraud, and some other issues.
You do not want to do pre-construction. Don't do pre-construction. Even if it's a very, very reputable Panamanian builder, I would not do pre-construction. And let me tell you the reason, the big reason why, is just one example. There was a big condo project in Gorgona that they were selling pre-construction at prices of like $350,000 for a condo. And it hasn't taken off very well. It's not selling very well. So now they've dropped the price, and they're now selling existing condos for $250,000, $100,000 less than the pre-construction people paid. So now the pre-construction people are all pissed off, and there's a big lawsuit wanting to sue the builder that they got taken advantage of with those higher prices. So the bottom line is you don't know what the economy is going to be like down the road. So you don't know what the quality of the project is going to look like. Whenever the builder says there's going to be a golf course here and a tennis court there and a marina over there, don't believe any of it until you actually see it with your own two eyes. It's better to wait until it's finished, but not pre-construction. And even when it's all finished, there's always going to be some builder closeout sales on different things, or people that bought pre-construction that changed their mind and they're selling at a fire sale price after it's all finished. So my advice would be not to buy pre-construction anything in Panama.
I see. So the best thing would be when we're ready to move there to see what's available at that time, correct?
Exactly, exactly. Yes, and, you know, the Chame area, Playa Carico, I've seen that subdivision. I know the builder. It's a very good one. There's another one called Playa Dorado that's not very far from there. It's also good. There's some in Gorgona that are not very good at all, so it just depends on who the builder is and where the location is and what's happening in that neighborhood.
I see, I see. And for the future projects, it's probably still too early to look at the future developments in the area, correct? We're talking about a span of 10 years from now. So.
Yes, it's too soon.
Okay, got it. Well, thank you very much, Jackie. Thanks for the information.
One other thing, Eric, is even though you're not planning to move here for another 10 years, my advice is always, always don't rush into buying anything, whether it's pre-construction or not, but always to go into the area where you think you want to invest some money and just rent there for at least 6 months or a year and make sure you really like it and find out where all the warts are. And make sure you really like the area before you start spending a lot of money on investing in an area. It's always better to rent first.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I got this I got this good advice. Anyway, I know I want to be at the water. So it's going to be oceanfront. So no matter where it's going to be, it's the oceanfront. So
the good thing is Panama has 1,500 miles of oceanfront. So you're going to have plenty of places to choose from.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you
Thanks
very much
for
again.
Your call.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hi, my next caller is area code 406. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie, this is Billy. I'm taking a tour in the first week of March. Yeah,
great.
Most of the people have asked the kind of the question about the bank, but like, do you just bring cash to open up a account, and is it just like one major bank with a bunch of branches around the country, or how's that? Really?
So, yeah, you have to have cash to open up a bank account. At $1,500 in cash to open up a bank account, you can get cash out of ATM machines after you get here instead of bringing it if you prefer to do it that way. All the banks that we use for opening up a bank account have online banking in English and Spanish, and they have branches throughout the country.
Okay, so I could just get my $1,500, like I'm on a Wells Fargo or whatever, I could just get my money out of Wells Fargo when I get down there.
Well, there's no Wells Fargo here.
No, but I'm saying that's who I bank with. So if I got my ATM card, so I could just get my money that way.
Yeah, if you have your ATM card with your debit card with you, you can go to any ATM machine and get some cash when you get here.
But I think you only get $300, or maybe you can get more. Maybe I'll just talk to a bank.
It's $500, usually $500, unless you've called them and made arrangements in advance to get $1,000. So over three different days, you could get $500, $500, $500.
Okay. So, and basically, they're just like a couple major banks, and they just have branches throughout the.
There's a lot of different banks in Panama. There's like 130 different banks in Panama.
Okay, so I really would like to open an account because I kind of plan July, August to if I like it. You know what I mean? So where would you know to open your account up if you don't really?
Well, during the tour, we're going to help you open up your bank account. We prefer to work with banks that have online banking in English and in Spanish. Most of the banks do not have banking in English and Spanish. It's only Spanish.
Okay.
And when it comes to financial matters, I don't know about you, but I want to know exactly what it says. I don't want to have to put everything through
Google
Translate.
Okay. All right, Jackie. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right. My next caller is area code 515. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Martha Miles from Iowa. I am probably going to schedule a tour. I'm planning on doing it sometime after the first of the year, sometime next spring. And I'm excited about that. First of all, before I forget, two things. Number one, in regards to the most recent caller or anybody, if you're suddenly going to start taking out a bunch of money in another country, you probably want to give your bank pre-notification of that. I work for Wells Fargo, and I know that sometimes they will shut your, if you have unusual activity, they'll temporarily shut down your debit card. And so just to be aware, to be overly cautious, you might want to just let them know.
We tell all of our tour clients when you're coming on a tour, whether you're planning to get any money out of ATM machine or not, with all your credit cards and debit cards, contact the bank or credit union and let them know that you're going to be traveling in Panama. Otherwise, as soon as a charge comes through, they're going to think it's fraudulent and shut it right down.
Yeah. The second thing is a lady with the older dog that she was worried about the rabies. I'm also a dog person. And it's possible if, depending on when your dog last had a rabies vaccine, that you, instead of having a rabies vaccine, you can have a microtiter run on a blood sample of your dog. If it has a high enough level of the rabies antibodies, you can still get your rabies certificate. So that's something that might be a trick in case she has a problem that way. So
might be. I'm not sure if Panama requires that they have a rabies vaccine. So I'm not sure that they would accept anything other than that.
Yeah, it was just a thought. It's just a thought. Because most people aren't aware of that. So, so my question is, I've been doing a lot of research using your excellent information and stuff. One of the things I've been a little confused about is that there's been a lot of discussion about a road between that's more of a shortcut between Boquete and Volcan, and or a shorter route to David or something, and the road was stopped because it was going through a national park or something. So can you give me an idea of what, like, travel times are and what travel is like between Boquete and Volcan and David and Volcan?
That road's been open for 7 or 8 years.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So it was old information.
Yeah, so whatever information you got was old information. There's a lot of old information out there, too. But, no, it's an excellent road. It's been open for a long time.
And what are the travel times like, then?
It's about an hour and 10 minutes to get from Boquete to Volcan.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And my next caller is area code 614. By the way, before you wait just 1 second, noticed that it's already 8:00. It's okay with me if we keep on answering questions. If any of you need to go and you can't wait, then I understand. But I'm going to keep on answering questions for a while because we've got a lot of people been waiting a long time. So I'm here for you to answer your questions. Okay, now area code 614, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Van and Cindy calling from Columbus, Ohio. We're in the early stages, I guess, of considering retirement in Panama. So we've been on YouTube and subscribed to the all the emails that we're getting. So looking forward to some of those testimonials from some of the beachy areas, since we're beach people. I have a question and a half, I guess. My half a question would be a follow-up to a question a gentleman asked earlier about the cost of moving to Panama. And can you tell me, is there a difference between what they consider household goods or personal items?
No.
Like, you know, a picture of my grandma, is that?
It's all by volume. It's all by volume. So it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a bunch of towels or if it's records or if it's cooking supplies or if it's tools or if it's your antique dresser that you just have to bring with you. It doesn't matter. It's all by volume.
I see.
Volume and weight. Yeah, it's volume. If it's going to be an international mover, it's going to be by weight if you're just shipping boxes.
Okay. Thank you. My question is when we've been in the process of considering retiring out of the United States, my wife is an avid shopper, so she likes to spend her day just getting in the car and going to town, I guess you could say, without dragging me along. And was safety is one of my concerns for her, that, you know, she can get in the car and go and both of us feel comfortable that, you know, there's not going to be any problems. What's your thoughts on that, please?
No problems at all.
Okay. Great. That was an easy one, then.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Next caller is area code 406. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Jane in Montana, and I will be on your November tour. And my question is about the insurance situation. I'm debating whether I should, you know, give up my Part B here immediately or take a while to and I know what the penalties are and that kind of thing for giving that up if I want to get it back. But with the international insurance, is if I get that in Panama, is that good if I happen to come back to the United States for a visit and need care?
Yes. International health insurance is good in any country in the world, including the United States. The only thing, there's only two things about the international health insurance that you should be aware of. Number one is that you have to live outside of your home country at least 6 months out of the year. And number two, it's pretty much impossible to get international health insurance at an affordable price unless you sign up for it before you're 74.
Okay. I appreciate that information, and thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Okay, my next caller, it just says anonymous. I don't know a phone number, don't know a name, don't know anything, but I unmuted somebody's line.
Hi, Jackie. Are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here. Yes.
I'm sorry about that, dear. I have a private line. So sorry. I didn't think about that ahead
of
time.
That's okay. I couldn't call anything so anonymous.
I'm sorry. I should have thought about it. I did. I was so excited at finally being able to catch one of these calls. My name is Brenda Pace. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm looking at taking one of your tours very, very soon. And the possibility of actually, I'm already retired, but actually moving and relocating to Panama. So I have just a couple of quick questions. A lot of them were answered through these other calls. I spoke to your daughter a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact. If I had any reservations, let me tell you, she was awesome. I don't anymore, okay?
Great.
She's wonderful, very, 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 very wonderful person, and gave a lot of good information. So a lot of my questions were answered. I guess one of the things I'm trying to figure out, what would be the least expensive area to live in that would be close to the city and the medical center? Did you guys say major hospital?
Well, you know, that David is the second largest city in Panama. It has two very large private hospitals and a huge public hospital. And it's a super affordable. But if you mean Panama City versus David is much more affordable than Panama City. So it depends on which city you're talking about.
Well, I don't want to live in Panama City. I already have a good idea what that would be like, okay?
Okay. Well, David has very, very good hospitals, and even some of the doctors from Panama City come over to David a couple times a week and see patients there. And they have two very, very good hospitals that are private hospitals, a big public hospital, and it's affordable to live there. But it's also hot. It's hot in David. You could live just 15 minutes away and get away from the heat and still be in a super affordable area.
Oh, okay. So you're saying
like there's the town of Dolega is about 15 minutes away from David, 15 minutes away from Boquete. You could live in Boquete. It's 30 minutes away from David. If you like the warmer climates, then you would love David. It's very, very nice. It's got a huge mall now. They're building another mall that'll be open up next year. It's got an airport right there that currently only does flights to Panama City or Costa Rica or Colombia, but there's talk that they'll be expanding it to have flights to North America. But it's got shopping, hospitals, churches, lots of restaurants, everything you would want right in David. And the cost is a fraction of what it would be in Panama City, and it's not as crazy as Panama City.
Okay. I think my last question is, do they have Uber there?
They have Uber in Panama City, but not in the rest of the country.
So you can buy a used car or rent a car or whatever, right?
Right. There's taxis that are readily available. Public transportation is very good in Panama.
Okay, great. Glad to know that.
Okay.
Panama Health Insurance. What does it normally run?
It depends on a lot of different factors. It depends on if it's through one of the hospitals, if it's like Blue Cross and Blue Shield, if it's international. It depends on your age. It depends on a lot of different factors. So it would be totally impossible for me to give you an idea of what it's going to cost for insurance.
Okay.
Here's just an example. There's a lady that I think we did a video with her recently. She's 69 and got some health problems already, and she's paying $100 a month for her health insurance.
Okay. And I have one last question. How much cash should I bring on the tour?
You know, everything's included on the tour. It's a 6-day, 7-night, all-inclusive tour. So we pay for all the hotels, all your meals, all the transportation, your flight back to Panama City. Everything's included except for alcoholic beverages, or if you want a big dessert or something like that, it's not included. So, you know, if you plan on having an alcoholic beverage every day, or if you plan on having a dessert every day, if you want to buy some souvenirs, I would recommend bringing $100, $200 with you on the tour. But all the basic things are completely included.
Okay. So it would be okay like to bring the additional $1,500 to open a bank account also, right?
Right. Yeah, you'll need $1,500 for the bank account. Then maybe bring a couple, $100 or $200 extra. And you might want to bring a debit card with you that you can get additional cash if you need it.
Exactly. And I plan on doing that. So I'm looking at hopefully finding somewhere to rent for about 3 months to make sure it's a fit and I get the good feel of it. And David, is that the one you spelled D-A-V-I-D?
Yeah, it looks like David.
Yeah, right. Okay. I actually was introduced to someone online that lives there.
And I did an article recently, in the last month, I think, I did an article about why you should consider David and talked about all the big advantages for that area.
I didn't see it. I must have missed
it. So look through the articles in our blog. for an article about David, and then that's additional information.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much for your call tonight. Okay, my next caller is area code 704. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. How you doing? My name is Devon. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. I have a couple of questions. Well, a little background. I was stationed there in Panama at Fort Clayton 30 years ago. So I'm kind of excited. I'm still going to be kind of new at seeing Panama all over again, but I'm very excited. So I'm going to be
retiring. Changed. You won't even recognize it. It's changed a lot.
I noticed that. I saw the skyline alone is totally different. I'll be retiring from the fire department. So my question on that is that with the pensionado visa, as far as income is concerned, because what I had planned on doing was, even if I'm living in Panama, if I wanted to do any coding or software development or anything like that, could I remotely do that from Panama as long as my income was generated in the U.S.?
Yes, that's no problem. So you can do that. If you have a pensionado visa, you can still run a business selling consulting or other things in some other country. It's only if you're selling that product or service in Panama that you need a work permit, and you can't get a work permit with a pensionado visa. So
gotcha.
No problem with you getting the pensionado visa, and then you can still work doing whatever it is, the coding or whatever you want to do.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you. And my next question is, and forgive me if I had missed it or anything like that. I'm coming in a little bit later. But my question is about, nobody has mentioned dental or vision care, and I'm going to assume that that's something separate from the healthcare costs that would be there in Panama. Is there any information regarding those two things?
Well, there's no insurance that you can get for dental care or vision care here, but it's very affordable and very good. I get it's $50 to get your teeth cleaned here. There's some dentists that only charge $30. The one that I go to charges $50. She speaks perfect English, and the dentist actually cleans your teeth. They don't use a hygienist. The only thing about getting your teeth cleaned in Panama, it's kind of like getting waterboarded, because they put this bib on you, then they use some high-pressure thing with super high-pressure water to clean your teeth, and you're going to just get wet.
That sounds quite pleasant.
But you're going to walk away with your teeth feeling cleaner than they've ever felt in your whole life. And same thing with vision care. I don't wear glasses or contacts anymore because I've had a couple of eye surgeries here in Panama. And just recently, in the last month, I think it was, I was having problems with the vision in my right eye, so I went to my ophthalmologist, and he said I'd had a cataract surgery already in that eye, or lens replacement, and he said I had a secondary cataract. And I didn't even whip out my insurance card. It was $180 to have that surgery done. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing. Okay, well, thank you so much. Oh, one more question, if I could, please. As far as the attorneys go, what is the, the average cost, or what could be expected as far as a retainer for the attorneys that we'll be using?
For either one of the attorneys, it would be about $300 is the retainer. $300 to $500 is the retainer fee. A typical cost to get a pensionado visa is going to be about $1,600 total with the attorneys that we use. Some of the other attorneys out there would charge $5,000 for the very same thing.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, so no need. You're not going to get better service by spending more money. We've vetted these people and used them for years and years and years, and they're the best.
I can't imagine doing any better than you. Thank you so much. I appreciate all your help, and I look forward to seeing you guys next year.
I look forward to meeting you. Thanks. Okay, my next question is area code 650.
Yes, hi, Jackie. Thanks for taking my call. This is Peter from California. I have a few questions in different areas. One is visa. So if I have my Social Security payments less than $1,000 and I'm just a single person, what would I qualify for?
So if your Social Security is less than $1,000 and you don't have a pension from anything else, any jobs or anything, no other pensions, then you would not be able to get the Pensionado visa. They don't accept annuities or interest from 401ks or any of those things. So your only choice would be to get the Friendly Nation visa.
Okay. Friendly Nations. The other question is about security of financial services in Panama. I mean, you hear different stories about, you know, Panama Papers, et cetera, et cetera. My concern is about the stability of the banks, and also if I were to bring some money for investment in the Panama, or if I were to get this corporation and I want to use that corporation for investment, how does that work, and how stable and secure is Panamanian financial services?
So the banks in Panama, you can go to any of their websites, and they usually have links to their Fitch or Standard & Poor's rating, and it's usually a AA or AAA rating for the banks. The banks in Panama have never had a bank failure, ever. Unlike the banks in the United States, the banks in Panama have never been bailed out by the government because they got into financial problems. And the reason for that is because their whole system for banks here is very different. They keep enough assets to cover any liabilities that they have, unlike some of the banks in the United States. They have so many different liabilities and not really enough assets to cover it, and then they can get into problems. What if they get a lot of foreclosures or something like that on their hands? But it's a different structure here. Also, banks are very, very closely monitored by the Minister of Finance, and they even publish reports about the health of the different banks. But I feel much more secure with the banks in Panama than I did with any of the banks that I had in the United States.
So if I were to bring in more than $100,000 for investment, can mm-hmm. I use this corporation for investment? What I mean by investment, not just in real estate, but let's say securities and such.
Yes. You certainly can.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can use the corporation for investments. You can do it personally, or you can use it for investments. The other thing that's really interesting and just seems so crazy to me is the banks in Panama, they do pay a much higher interest rate on just savings accounts, like 2%, sometimes more, depending on how much money is in the account. And you're going to, so with the interest that you earn on your bank account in Panama, you don't owe any taxes on that to Panama. You don't have to file a tax return. You don't owe any taxes on it. But if you're a U.S. citizen, you still have to pay taxes to the U.S. government on the interest that you earn on a bank in Panama.
Wow. Okay.
It's a crazy thing, but that's just one of their little rules.
And the bank account that we can open in Panama, you said that the minimum is $1,500. Is there any charges or fees that you guys or the banks charge for just the opening of an account?
No, there's no fee to open up an account.
Okay, so all we need is just the $1,500 minimum for opening the account, which will into deposit. Okay. All right,
yep.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jackie.
Right.
You're a great help. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. One more question is area code 713. Go right ahead.
Hello, Jackie. This is Larry Clayton, Captain Stevens. We're going to come up to you in December.
For some reason, I'm just not hearing you very well. Let me try to...
bottom line, how much cash do we need to bring up? I've heard the $1,500 to open up bank account. As far as applying for a Friendly Nations visa, do we need cash for that?
No, $1,500 is to open up a bank account, but to get the Friendly Nation visa, you can actually pay for that with a credit card. So you don't need cash for that.
I'm sorry, we were playing with the phone, I didn't catch that. Would you mind repeating it?
So to open up a bank account, it has to be $1,500 in cash. To get your residency visa, you can pay that with a credit card.
Okay, great, great. The other question I had is, in looking at properties there and such, it seems confusing from a boy from Texas to, you know, see a $400,000 house that's renting for $1,000. Okay, is there a reason for that? Is there something I'm missing? Or,
well, probably it might be a $200,000 house that's renting for $1,000, but not a $400,000 house. So the big difference here in Panama is that, and like, I'm from Texas, I had real estate investments in Texas. My property taxes were enormous. My insurance on houses was enormous. And so, you know, I had to charge high rents to be able to just cover the cost of everything and still have a little bit of cash flow left over. The rents are much, much cheaper in Panama because the owner probably doesn't have any property taxes. And if they do have any property taxes, it's very, very low. And I just renewed my house insurance for my house, and it was $115 for the whole year. So it's not those crazy numbers that you have in Texas for house insurance and property taxes, and that's why rents are also the cost. Most of the houses that you would rent here in Panama, they're going to come completely furnished, include all the utilities and a gardener that comes every week. Well, those costs for utilities are low. The gardener might be $25 for the whole day. The utility cost might be $30 for the whole month. And that's all included in the rent. So the costs are much, much lower here. That's the whole reason we're living here, is because the costs are cheaper.
Sounds great. Hey, look forward to meeting with you.
I look forward to meeting you during a Panama relocation tour. Thanks for your call.
Thanks.
My next caller is area code 386. By the way, everybody that's waiting to ask your question, thank you so much for waiting. I am going to get to your questions tonight. I'll stay on the line to answer them. Area code 386, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Pat Gaines. I was on your May trip.
I remember.
And I have survived the hurricane, which was a joke. But I'm waiting to get to Panama so I don't have to deal with any more Andrews, Michaels, or Dorians. I had a question, though, about the FBI check you have to do for your visa. Is there a Chandler's or something that takes care of all of that, including the apostolizing of the papers, or how do we go about doing that?
Yes, there is. If you go to FBI.gov, approved Chandler's, there's a list right there.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
One of them, the main things, because I expect to be there hopefully in the spring. If you had to pick a month or two that you would say would be the best months out of the year to move to Panama for rentals, weather, etc., what would that be?
Let me rephrase that and say the 2 months that you should not come to Panama to get a rental would be December and January, because that's when a lot of the snowbirds come down from Canada and there's less inventory and some landlords even charge more money. But all the other months are great.
Okay, so the rest of the year, other than December and January, there's not that big of a change in price and
You'll have plenty of rentals and not a change in price.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I was planning on being there before May, of this coming May.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks
a lot,
Jackie. Your tour was marvelous. Thanks.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. My next caller is area code 480. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Jackie. This is Diane and David. We're the pet sitters that don't really have a home base right now, but we would like to come down and go on the tour while we're down there doing some pet sitting for a few months. And my question is, we don't know if we're ready to settle yet down. We might still want to do this for a few more years, but what if we came down there and we, let's say we saw something that was really acknowledgeable, we fell in love with it, and we thought, oh, let's have a place that we can go to 2 or 3 months at a time between our other travels. Do we need to get the pensionado visa in order to get a rental? Does someone not want to rent to you if you don't have the pensionado visa, even if you're willing to sign a 12-month lease? And can you do
some
kind of
some landlords want to know that you're moving there permanently. There's other landlords, they'll do a short-term rental for just a couple of months. So there's not one right answer.
Okay, if we did find someone that would do like a 12-month rental where we could renew it, because maybe we're only going to be there 3 or 4 months and then leave for a few months and then come back again, can we do any kind of house swap, do you think, or is that something we'd have to arrange just between them?
Most all of the leases in Panama say you cannot sublease it out or let someone else live in the property. They'll only let you live in it.
Okay. And will they hesitate renting it to us if we're not able to put utilities in our name then if we don't have the pensionado visa either,
but
correct?
Most properties come with the utilities. They're already attached and come with the rent.
Okay. All right. Well, once we straighten out when we're coming down there for those pet sits, then we'll try to either before, after, or in the middle of between some arrange for our tour.
Looking Sounds great.
To it. Thank you very
for
much.
Call. Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
All right. My next caller is area code 818.
Hi, it's me again, Jackie. Thank you. I don't know whether this is something that you can answer here or not, and if not, we'll wait until we come down. But I'll ask it in email, perhaps. I'm a little confused about the process of getting the Friendly Nations visa and the apostilles particularly, because you said you can get them in Panama. I thought that documents
cannot get the apostille in Panama.
Okay, that's what I thought. It has to be done by the state that we live in, right, if you're in the U.S.?
No, an apostille is on the federal level. It's on the federal level.
Okay, right. Okay, so it's like the Secretary. I thought it was the Secretary of State, though, no? Of the state that you're in?
Yeah.
Or is it?
No, Secretary of State on the federal level. For the Secretary of State for the United States.
U.S. Okay. So those apostilles have to be done on the documents like the FBI file and the
certified copy of a marriage certificate. We don't need a birth certificate unless it's minor children. The other thing will be your proof of income letter, like Social Security letter.
If you're going for the pensionado, right?
If you're going for the pensionado. If you're not going for the pensionado, you won't need that.
Okay. So all of those, and to do the apostille, we also have to get fingerprints? Is that part of the FBI background?
Yeah. Let me make a recommendation. On my website, on Panama Relocation Tours, I have an article called Demystifying the Residency Visa Process. And it has a step-by-step instructions for the whole thing with an explanation.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 918.
Hi, Jackie. This is Craig from Oklahoma.
Hi.
I have my question is maybe somewhat unfair, but I know you run a business there in Panama, and I've been to Panama a few times, and I'm not actually ready to retire, and I want to continue to run my business, which is consulting with various clients back in the U.S. Do you find Panamanian taxes to be about the same as U.S. taxes, or more or less?
Well, on my business, I would say, because I'm paying taxes in both countries.
Sure,
so,
right. Understood.
Yeah. So taxes in Panama are a little less than the taxes in the United States.
Okay, so taxes really aren't a much of a consideration then?
No. It depends on how much money you make, but it's definitely you're going to pay taxes. If you're a U.S. citizen, I think you said you're from Oklahoma, and if it's earned income, you can get the foreign earned income exclusion for about the first $105,000 in your income that you
right.
don't have to pay taxes in the United States, but you'd have to pay taxes on every penny of that in Panama.
Gotcha. Okay.
If you're earning the money in Panama.
Okay. Do they also have something similar to the self-employment tax in the U.S.?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I look forward to coming down and being on one of your tours soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Craig.
Okay. Thank you.
My next caller is area code 707. I know that name.
I'll bet you do. Hi, Jackie. It's Marn in California from April tour number 100.
How are you?
I'm really good. We were just down in Boquete about 2 weeks ago. Had a great time, and we are really sold on coming down. It's just a matter of timing and how we transition from here to there. And it's kind of that I have a quick clarification question on something you mentioned earlier. You were talking about international health insurance, and it requires being out of the country for 6 months. And my question is that 6 consecutive months or a total of 6 months out of the year? Because we're thinking of doing something like 3 months here, 3 months there initially.
It does not have to be consecutive, but if they know that you're not planning to move to Panama permanently, they may deny your insurance.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are planning to move to Panama permanently. It's just it may be a 2-year horizon instead of immediate
yeah.
horizon.
Yeah, you just have to be outside of it 6 months, but not consecutively.
Perfect. That was it for
okay.
me.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Jackie. Bye-bye.
Next caller is area code 972.
Hello, Jackie. This is Marjorie from Richardson, Texas, and I'm scheduled for your January 3rd through 10th tour.
Great.
So I've sent you an email, and thank you for replying to that. My job as an accountant is being outsourced to the Philippines. So it may put me on the fast track to getting there because of this situation. But my situation is I'm not old enough to have a Social Security. So I'm really interested in what type of work or how can I sustain myself while I'm there should I want to come sooner than that. And I know you said that there's jobs listed on your website, which I've gone to, but I would like to know, are there online jobs that I could start here and then take over there? And if you know of any, what those might be?
Your job has been an accountant, right?
Correct.
So I believe that accountant is one of the protected professions here. However, I do know someone that has a finance background that worked as a financial analyst, which could probably fall in that same category, working for a multinational company in Panama City, making six figures, $105,000 a year. And because it's a multinational company, didn't have to pay a penny in taxes in Panama, and he didn't have to pay a penny of taxes in the United States either. So there is some articles that I have on my website about getting a job in Panama, and it lists some of those multinational companies like Procter & Gamble and Dell Computers and other ones. So that's one way, is to get the job. But the better way would probably be to do some kind of an online job. So you might look at some of the freelancer websites like Upwork or Freelancer. And even though those are freelance jobs, some of those are permanent positions where they're paying you to work 40 hours a week or 20 hours a week or however many that you want to work,
okay,
which could also be with some, you know, big companies.
Okay, because I would really like to do something, I think, that's at home. You know,
yeah.
So I know that I would not want to live in Panama City. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. You couldn't pay me to live in Panama City.
So the freelance
online work way is a much better way to go. And I would just say do a Google search for accounting jobs online and see what shows up. But also check out the website Upwork.
All right. I just was wondering if you had somebody in a similar situation or you knew of how they worked.
I do. There's someone from my tour, and they do all the accounting for a church that they'd gone to for 20 years. They did accounting there. Now they do the accounting remotely. I know people that are doing all kinds of different online jobs, but usually it's the company they used to work for, and then they're doing it online. But if your company's sending things to the Philippines, they're paying 90% less than they were paying you, probably.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
Yeah.
But look on Upwork and do a Google search for accounting jobs online and see what comes up.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. I can't not wait to get there.
I'm ready. Come on down.
All right.
Thanks. My next caller, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 more people. Is area code 210. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Lee from Texas.
Hi, Lee.
Well, I'm going down on the January 3rd trip also.
Great.
I have a couple of different incomes. I have a retirement, plus I have Social Security, and they're well over the $1,000. Can I have those directly deposited to banks in Panama?
You can certainly have your Social Security check directly deposited into the bank in Panama. Some of the other pensions that you get, the company will do it, and some of them they won't. So you have to talk with whoever the administrator is for the pension that you're getting at the other ones. But I know for sure you can get your Social Security direct deposited here.
Well, probably the others too, because one's VA disability and the other one's a government retirement. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be able to get both of those done.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that was my main question, and I will see you
again.
Right.
And speaking of VA, are you a veteran?
Yes.
Okay, we have special benefits for veterans in Panama. Are you aware of that?
Okay.
If you're retired or if you were discharged with any kind of a disability, then you can get free medical and free prescriptions here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good because I've got quite a few prescriptions I was going to bring down to show to the pharmacist and see what kind of deal I can go there.
Yeah, and there's pharmacies here that you could get those filled and they would build the VA for them.
Yeah, I've got a 40% VA disability, so.
Yep, you'll be able to get those prescriptions filled in they'll fill it, they'll bring it to your house, and then they'll bill the VA.
Okay, I had one other question. On the pensionata FBI or background checks, what is the restrictions on that? Do you know offhand?
Well, the things that I know will keep you from getting a visa, that will prevent you from getting a visa, are three things I've been told by the attorneys. Number one is if you've murdered somebody. Okay. The other thing is if you were a convicted drug dealer and you spent time in prison for being a drug dealer.
Nope.
And the other one is, and this happened to one of my tour clients, is if you had a few little, you know, DWIs or possession of marijuana charges a long time ago, and it showed up on your FBI report, but you also had some additional charges in Mexico or some other country and you didn't reveal those other things in other countries, they'll find out about it. And they would deny your visa if you don't disclose anything that happened in any country.
Yeah. Well, on mine, it's none of those, so.
Okay. Well, if it's not any of those, then you don't have anything to worry about.
Okay. I'll see you in January then.
All right. Thanks. Next caller is area code 805.
Hi, Jackie. Good evening. Thank you for this wonderful service.
You're welcome.
I'm
Thank
scheduled
you for
to come
patience.
Down. My name is Mark. I'm scheduled
hey, Mark.
To come down January 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping not to return to the Wisconsin winter and stay down there. I was a little disheartened when I heard you say that, you know, January is a bad month for, you know, renting. But what I really wanted to ask about was if I were to, you know, just come down on the tour, and I would like to get, you know, as I was thinking of staying for a few months, get everything I needed for the purposes of getting my permanent residency visa, if that is something that I can do on my, you know, very initial trip.
Yes. Most people do it right after the tour. So, and also finding a rental if you're in the coastal areas is very, very difficult in January. If you were up a little bit higher in the mountains, then it's pretty easy to find a rental property. But in the coastal areas, it's much harder. However, I've got connections all over this country. I can always find you a rental, whether you want the coast or the mountains. I can always find something. But yes, if you wanted to get your residency visa right after the tour, just let us know, and we will, once you've made your final payment, we'll put you in touch with the attorney who will give you a list of documents that you should bring with you. Then you can do that afterwards. And, of course, you can stay, even as a tourist, you can stay in Panama for 6 months if you wanted to, so you don't have to go back to that cold weather up in Wisconsin.
Right. Okay. Okay, very good.
But with your visa, but once you get your visa, you can stay even longer. Okay. I think I lost that last call. Sorry, Mark. I hope you got all the information. My next caller is area code 704. Just a second. I can't hear you. Hello? Okay, couldn't hear anybody on that one. Next caller is area code 702. I've unmuted you.
Hello, this is Mike and Amy from Nevada. How are you?
Good.
Good. We're looking at relocating down to Panama within the next year. And we're looking at doing it on the retirement visa. And we're looking at buying our property outright when we get down there after renting and finding our place. But we've narrowed it down to Boquete and Coronado. And our question for you is, if we buy our home outright and having, let's say, $5,000 a month for a pension, looking at the community involvement, the people activities in the areas between the two, from restaurants, bars, but just community involvement, lifestyle concept. Can you give me some insight on both of those two areas?
So those areas both have a high concentration of expats. So there's all kinds of social activities and live music and bars and restaurants and things to get involved in. The two major differences, of course, is that Coronado's by the beach, so it's going to be hot, hot, hot. And Boquete's up in the mountains, so it's going to be more spring-like weather. To some people, it's even too cool in the Boquete area. So it just depends on which kind of weather that you like, but there's going to be similar activities, restaurants and bars. It is about, I would say, at least 20% more expensive in Coronado than it is in Boquete, whether you're going to go to a doctor, buying groceries, getting a massage, anything. It's going to cost a little bit more money, about 20% more in Coronado than it does in Boquete.
Okay, and as far as like what are you saying about 20% more? If you're looking at having a budget around $5,000 a month, does that afford you either place, essentially, is what you're saying?
It affords you either place. You just get more for your money in Boquete than you would in Coronado, but you could do either one. And you may even want to, before you jump into buying something, is rent in Coronado for 6 months and rent in Coronado in Boquete for 6 months and decide which one you like the best before you jump into a buying decision.
And is there a better golf course in Boquete? I saw there were two. And then
there's
Buena Vista?
There's two golf courses in Boquete. One is only a 9-hole golf course in Valle Escondido, but the premier golf course is in an area called Lucera, which I don't golf, but I've heard it's a very, very nice golf course. There's also a golf course in Coronado, at the Coronado Golf Area, and there's one just outside of Coronado at the Buenaventura, which is a Jack Nicklaus golf course.
That's what we were looking at.
Yeah.
Those two.
So, yeah. Golf in either place.
Okay, and then we were looking at, I was watching one of the videos the other day from Boquete, and it was saying that there's really nothing to do after 7 p.m. and that everyone stays home and you lose the internet between 7 and 9. Is that accurate?
No, it's not accurate. Here it is at 8:44 p.m., and I'm doing this whole call over the internet. My electricity's on, lights are on, and everything's working. If you're on, I would say, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, things pretty much close up about 9 or 10 as far as restaurants and bars. But Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even into Sunday, there's going to be live music at multiple venues and dancing and karaoke and all kinds of party things going on all over town on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and into Sunday. But Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, not so. It pretty much shuts down. If you're driving through town at 9 o'clock, you'll see some people, but it'll look pretty slow. But the same can be said for Coronado, exactly the same thing. It's only on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday that there's really very much activity. The rest of the time, it's pretty quiet.
Sure, but daytime activity. And then there's a lot of opportunity because in the Boquete area, is that correct?
There's a lot of opportunity in the Boquete area for volunteering, like with the Spay and Neuter Clinic, the Handicap Foundation, painting classes, cooking classes, three different hiking groups.
Great.
Bicycle groups, Zumba
and
classes, Pilates classes, and yoga, and the list goes on and on.
So there is a lot of exercise opportunity there outside of hiking?
Yes.
Okay, I know that's an odd question, but we want to make sure we're active.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for all your help.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling
in. Would you rather buy a car in the States and have it shipped over, or would you rather buy in Panama? What is your opinion on that? And I know it's different for everyone.
I would never, ever buy a car in the United States or ship a car in from the United States because the cars in the United States have emission controls and catalytic converters. The cars in Panama do not. So if your car that you shipped in from the United States breaks down, they don't have any parts and there's no mechanics really that know how to fix it. So you could be waiting. You could be 3, 4, 5 months with no car waiting on the right parts to come in, then keep your fingers crossed that somebody knows what to do with the part when it does come in. Much, much, much better to buy the car here.
Well, perfect. Thank you for all your advice.
You're welcome.
You have a great
day. Next caller is area code 425.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Pam.
Oh, great. Well, I wanted to ask a quick question. My husband is retired. He has a pension. He's not at retirement age, and they're recommending him apply for disability. Can you get accepted on the pension on a visa and have disability and a pension?
No. They don't accept disability because it's not, unless it's a disability that he's going to get as a lifetime income, it has to be a lifetime income.
Yes, it would be. It would be Social Security disability.
But that's not lifetime.
Oh,
that stop,
I guess
that
you're
stops.
Right.
Yeah, that's not lifetime.
Once he
so
turns,
they don't accept. Yeah, they don't accept the disability.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 402.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Mike.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for doing this. I've been, you know, spying on you guys through the tours and stuff for a while now. And I'm still working. I'm 66. I'm on Social Security already. I wouldn't be in a financial shape to, go down there and buy right away. I mean, I've probably got about 100,000 equity in the house.
We really recommend that it's better to rent for at least 6 months to a year before you even think about buying anything anyway.
Well, that's what I've heard. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And so as far as the, I just don't know if I would sell the house before I came down or after I came down.
The best thing to do is, you know, come on a Panama relocation tour and see if you even like Panama, see if it feels right. And then whenever you'll know by the end of the tour, Panama feels right for you or not. And then you may decide to go back, put your house on the market and sell it and get down here as fast as you can. That's what a lot of people do. Or you may decide that you want to come and live in Panama for 6 months and just give it a test drive before you make that final decision to sell your property. So it can go either way. You just won't know until you come and see Panama and see how it feels for you.
Okay. Now, with Social Security, you could get the visa?
That's right. So long as you make at least $1,000 a month in a lifetime income like Social Security.
Yeah, I've got that covered.
Yep, no problem. You could get the visa.
Now I'm going back over a couple of things here. Now, you mentioned Boquete and the other place the other couple was talking about was golf courses. And I don't remember where the Nicholas was or if there's more than just a couple of golf courses there.
Yeah, there's a lot of golf courses. There's also an area in the Zora Peninsula, the town of Chitre. They have a huge golf course there, and they have a fantastic fee. It's $80 a month for unlimited golf.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay. I guess I know where I'd be living then. No. And you cover, what is it, eight cities or eight different locations?
We usually throw in a few extras, too. 8 to 10. Yep.
8 to 10. Okay. And I don't think there's a bad time of the year to come down there, is there? I know you're booked up till like, May. And that'd be even
There's not really a bad time of year. If you come in January, it's going to be a little bit more windy. If you come in November, there may be a little bit more rain, but it won't interfere with the tour at all.
Oh, November rain.
But neither of those are bad. It's just a characteristic of that time of year.
Correct, yeah. I've been keeping an eye on, you know, everything about it, and now they're talking about the copper mine and building all this stuff down there. Do you know anything about that yet?
Largest copper mine in the world. I've flown over it several times.
Yeah, that's what they've been saying.
Yeah.
They're building housing for people that are going to work there.
Well, they'd already built a lot of housing, but there's some expat investors are trying to get people to invest in building even more houses, and you should run from that investment because
it's way
too expensive. Anyway, we'd love for you to join us for a tour and come down and see what it's really like. You've read a lot of the hype about Panama. Now you need to come see what it's really like.
Oh, I have. I've read a lot about it, and I've watched a lot of your tours and a lot of the blogs, you know, that people give from. There's some people that are a little bit against Panama after they've been down there. I don't know what that's all about, but I don't take it, you know, I just take it as a grain of salt.
Well, Panama's not right for everybody, that's for sure. That's why you don't want to put your house on the market and then come and see Panama.
No, it's better to see Panama
first and decide if it's even right for you, because it's not right for everybody.
Yeah. And my passport's expired, so I'd have to get that, so it's going to take a while to get that. So I'm looking at probably May. But
sounds perfect. I look forward to seeing you then. Thank you so much for your call. Next caller is area code 704. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie, this is Keith and Denise in Arkansas.
Hi.
We're on the November tour.
Fantastic. I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah. Our question is on if we rent while we're there, do they require cash or will they take a check?
They won't take a check. Most of them will not take a check. Some of them are going to require cash for the deposit. And then some of them will allow you, if it's an expat you're renting from, they might allow you to deposit money into their account in the United States. Some of them will do PayPal. Some of them will take a check, but most of them won't take a check from a U.S. bank.
Okay, one other question. Do people ride scooters there like Vespas, and do you have to have a driver's license for that?
They do ride the scooters. You do need a driver's license, and the scooter has to have a license plate. And you have to wear a helmet.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your patience and waiting. So I want to thank everybody so much for being on the call tonight. I'm sorry it lasted 2 hours. A little bit longer than I thought. Maybe we do 1 hour call tonight, but there was no way I was going to have, you know, a bunch of people waiting to ask a question. They didn't get it asked tonight. So we extended the call tonight to 2 hours. It's a long call. Many of you have been on here the whole 2 hours, and I really appreciate you calling in tonight to get this information. I look forward to meeting many of you for an upcoming Panama Relocation Tour. Check out our website, PanamaRelocationTours.com. If you click on the Tours tab, it has more information about the tours. Then underneath the Tours tab is a list of the dates that we have available. We only require a $500 deposit per person to reserve your spot for a tour. I suggest you do it months in advance because we sell out early. And if for any reason you need to cancel, just let us know 30 days before and we'll refund your money, or we can move your deposit money over to a different tour date. If something comes up and you just can't go in April, let's say, and you say, well, I can go in June instead, we'll just move your deposit over to June, so long as we have a space available. So I really look forward to meeting many of you during Panama Relocation Tour that's coming up soon. In my opinion, Panama gets better and better and better every single year. I moved here from Texas, and I wouldn't take all the money in the world to move back to Texas. I love living in Panama. So come and see what a magical place this is, and I bet you might want to move here too. Thank you. Good night, everybody.